Open your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 4. Hallelujah. We're going to let this word speak to us this morning. I want to focus this morning on the apostles and the very early church, the beginnings of the church, and how they dealt with persecution and their response to pressure in respect to God and His Word. Because the apostles, if you study the book of Acts, is a wonderful example of how we stay the course. And we don't do it because of our ability, we do it because of the Holy Spirit empowering us through that anointing that's upon the lives of each and every believer. So read with me from Acts chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to read a large portion of this and we'll see where God takes it. And as they spoke unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, it's interesting. If you were to study the book of Acts chapter 23 and verse 8, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, neither of angels nor spirit. The Sadducees didn't believe in any of that. So it's no surprise that the Sadducees were stirring up the religious leaders in relation to these apostles. Verse 3. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold or in prison until the next day, for it was now eventide. It was evening. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So is that 2,000 increase on the 3,000 that already made Jesus Lord on the day of Pentecost? Or is that an additional, 5,000? We don't know. But the point there is they believe because they heard the word. People have to hear the word to believe something. Verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred or relatives of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Now, we need to go back a little bit to help understand the question that's been asked here. So, a short time before this, we have the day of Pentecost. Now, under Jewish tradition, Pentecost came 50 days after Passover. So, it was on that day that the new church, the Church of Jesus Christ, was birthed in the earth. That's when that rushing mighty wind came in and all the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. That was the birth of the church. So this is the early church. Now, as a result of that, they're empowered because of that anointing that was upon them through the Holy Spirit. And if you study the book of Acts chapter 3, as a result of that empowering, Peter healed, through the power of God, obviously, a cripple who had been lame since birth. And if you were to study out chapter 3 and verse 6, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately he rose up and his ankle bones, they gained strength and up he went. His feet and his ankles were immediately healed. So as a result of that, Peter was preaching and he was explaining what power produced that. He said, don't look at us as if, by our holiness we've done something. He said the name. And if in fact, if you go a little bit further down, he says in verse 12 of Acts chapter 3, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel at this, or why look so earnestly on us as though by our power or holiness we have made this man walk? And of course, then he goes on to say, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Now, this next verse is so important. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, we go back to the question they asked in Acts chapter 4. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? So what they recognized was there was power in the name. They recognized that the name of God was powerful. In fact, they wouldn't even speak the name of God. They wouldn't speak it. You know, in the literal Hebrew, it's Yod Heh Vah Heh, Yahweh. They wouldn't speak that name. It was too holy for them to speak. Now look at Peter's response. Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to notice that. He wasn't speaking off the top of his head. He wasn't speaking out of his own thoughts. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel. He wasn't just speaking to a bunch of Jewish people here. He was speaking to rulers and elders, rulers of the people. I want you to notice the boldness of this man. A couple of weeks earlier, they're fishermen. In fact, they were fishermen when Jesus was crucified. They said, oh, well, let's go back fishing, boys. They thought that was it. They're fishermen. But now they're speaking to rulers of the people and elders of Israel. He says this, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man or the cripple, by what means he was made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole or complete. Now that's boldness right there. This is a stone which was set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, it's interesting. If you were to read John chapter 10, verse 9, you don't need to turn there. You know, Jesus said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. So think about that. Just turn quickly to John chapter 6. So here's Peter saying that there's no other way to receive salvation apart from Jesus. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So John chapter 6 and verse 44. John 6, 44 says this. Jesus speaking, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. He says, no man. No man can come to me, to the Father. Oh, sorry, to me, except the Father draw him. And of course, John 14, 6, if you want to quickly just go forward there to John 14, verse 6, again, Jesus speaking. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. See, Peter was declaring the power of the name of Jesus. See, The power's in the name. There is no such thing as many ways to God. There's no many ways to God. There's one way to the Father, and it's through the Son, Jesus, who's the door. If you enter in any other way, you're a thief and a robber, the Bible says. See, you know, one of the dangers of that sort of multi-faith gathering is it gives this idea that there's many ways to God. Well, we all just love God. You know, we just love this universal God. And it doesn't really matter what your belief is, but we all love the same God. No, we don't. We don't all love the same God. If someone doesn't confess Jesus Christ as Lord, then they don't love the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They don't love the God of creation that we serve. If they don't confess Him as Lord, and only by the Holy Ghost can we declare Jesus Christ is Lord. You can say it with your head, but you can't declare it out of your heart except by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that. Only by the Holy Ghost can we declare Jesus Christ is Lord. See, the religious leaders couldn't deny the miracle that occurred. Let's read it. Let's keep reading. We'll keep reading from Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Can I tell you, when you spend time with Jesus, you spend time with the Lord Jesus, you're going to be bold. You're going to be emboldened to speak the truth when we have time with the Lord. They recognize that. And it goes on in verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. They couldn't deny the miracle. But they had to stop the name from being spoken. They had to stop the name from being spoken. Look at this. When they had commanded them to go aside of the council, they conferred among themselves. Verse 16, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. This had stirred up Jerusalem. Verse 17, but that it spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Now, why is that important? Why do you think the devil has stirred up these religious leaders? Because the power's in the name. The power's in the name. Now, it's important to understand something about the name of Jesus. Firstly, He inherited the name. Go with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Jesus inherited the name from the Father. Hebrews chapter 1. And reading from verse 4. So He inherited this name from God. And it says in verse 4, being made so much better than the angels. This is referring to Jesus, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Well, if he's obtained it by inheritance, it had to come from the Father. So Jesus inherited this name. Now, the second point, the name was given to Him by the Father. Just go back a little bit to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. This will help us understand why they wanted to shut the apostles' mouth regarding this name. Philippians chapter 2. I want to read from verse 9. And it says this, therefore God also has highly exalted Him, referring to Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Can I say this? Whether you confess Jesus Christ is Lord in this earth or at the great white throne of judgment, everyone is going to bow the knee and confess Jesus as Lord. Everyone, every human being born into the earth, that leaves the earth and is a spirit before the Father and the Son who will judge, every human being is going to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, whether it's in this lifetime or whether it's before the throne of judgment. That's the power of the name. That's why we don't make Jesus equal to other gods, little g. There is only one Savior. We don't embrace other religions that deny Him as Lord. You can't do that. It looks nice. It looks good. It's very politically correct. You know, it's all embracing. You know, it's about unity. Well, didn't Jesus say, I have not come to bring peace to the earth, but I've come to bring division. I've come to bring strife. It wasn't that Jesus was going to cause the strife. It's that those that believe were going to have conflict with those that don't. That's why a father and a mother, a sister and a brother, a sister-in-law against a mother-in-law and all that sort of thing. There's going to be conflict because there'll be those that believe and those that reject. So He said, my peace I give to you, the disciples, the apostles, the church. Not as the world gives, give I you. He doesn't give it like the world. The world's peace is a counterfeit peace. The peace of God passes all understanding. So, I want to keep going here. There was one more thing about the name that's important to understand. He achieved the authority of His name by conquest. He overcome the devil. Go forward very quickly just to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. So He inherited the name. It was given to Him and He achieved it through conquest. Verse 15. Again, it's referring to Jesus, Colossians 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He spoiled them or He disarmed them, and He did it in their domain. Jesus had to go to hell and pay the price for humanity, for the curse, for sin, and He was raised from death to life by the Father. He was the first begotten of many. We're the many. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead raised us up and made us alive in Christ. The same power. We are not just a second copy. We're originals. We're new creations in Christ. It was the same spiritual power that raised up Jesus from spiritual death to spiritual life that raised us up. That's what we have. Now He's given us this name. And He gave it to the disciples. Those apostles used that name and it stirred up the religious leaders. Can I tell you now? It stirs up religious people today. You know, there are ministers today that will pray to the universal God but won't pray in the name of Jesus. But they pray out of the Bible. They preach this book, but they won't pray in the name of Jesus because they might offend someone. Well, bad luck. Bad luck. If they're offended, pray for them. Give them to God. But you've got to preach the name. If you don't preach the name, there's no power and there's no authority because He said it was this name and faith in this name that's made that man whole. So it's a powerful thing, you know. Remember those religious leaders, they took note that these guys had been with Jesus. They were illiterate fishermen. They weren't trained in the law. They weren't a rabbi like Jesus. They called Him master and teacher and rabbi. But these guys weren't. They were just a bunch of 12 that followed him. But they took notice. These guys have been with Jesus. And I'll tell you what, spending time with Jesus brings boldness. Boldness of faith. And that's what we want. Let's go back to Acts chapter 4 and we'll keep reading. So we know that they've commanded them not to speak any more in that name. That was verse 17. I'll read it again. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Wow. Remember the disciples, and again, you can make a note of it and you can look it up at some stage, but the disciples in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sent them out, you know, go out and preach the word and heal the sick and raise the dead and do all those good things, and they came back, and in verse 17 it said, Lord, even the devils are subject through your name. They had experienced the power of the name because Jesus gave them authority to go. Well, he's given us authority, hasn't he?
Amen.
To go. So this wasn't new to them. They had seen the power of the name and operation during the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. So that word spread, but that it spread no further. That particular word spread is only used once. The meaning of this word, even though the word spread is used throughout the scriptures, the particular Greek meaning of this word is only used once in the New Testament, and it's here, and it means to distribute or to disseminate. They didn't want the word getting out. They didn't want the power of the name disseminated or spreading around or getting out to the people through distribution. That's why they want the church quiet. You know, some of these godless nations and governments, they want to shut the voice of the church because there is power in this name. They don't want the church to be speaking in the name of Jesus. They don't want you to get up there and declare him as Lord above all else, because he is above all else. No other name. No other name above this name. Let's keep reading. Verse 18. And they called them, commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. See, Satan hates this name, people. They didn't want them to speak or to teach, because what teaching does, it brings revelation knowledge. And when you get revelation knowledge, the knowledge will set you free. See, the Bible says in 1 Timothy, it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It's his will that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But we know not all men are saved. Just because God wills it doesn't mean it's going to happen on the earth. This idea that, well, God's sovereign will is going to make it all just work. No, it doesn't. It's God's sovereign will that we be healed and whole. But not everyone is going to be healed and whole in this earth. Just because he wills it doesn't mean it happens. We have to do our part to receive the promise, the great and precious promise of God. So that's what they've said. Verse 19. Now this is what I wanted to get to, because this is a great example of staying the course in difficult situations. Look what Peter's response is. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, you judge. You judge that. For we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. So, who are you going to listen to and obey? Think about that. Who are you listening to and who are you going to obey? God or man? He says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and we have heard. Well, you know what? They were with Jesus the day when Jairus said, come and heal my daughter. Come and heal my daughter. You just come and lay hands on her and she will be healed and she will live. They were present when that woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, and that means for 12 years she couldn't leave her house. You talk about COVID-19 for 3 months, 12 years. She couldn't be in the church for 12 years. She was unclean, could have been stoned. 12 years, she lost everything she had in terms of her wealth. She gave it all to physicians and she didn't grow better, she grew worse. They were present. So this woman heard something. What did she hear? She heard about Jesus. Somebody had communicated the name to her. And her faith rose up. And she declared and kept declaring, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And she touched the hem of the rabbi's garment. And instantly, power flowed from Jesus to her. They were there. See, they're saying, we will only speak the things that we have seen and heard. They saw that. They saw that. And then they moved on to Jairus' house. They were present when someone came from the house and said, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. Your daughter's dead. Don't worry about it. Now, I tell you what, for most people, that would be overwhelming. Jairus didn't speak a word. Jesus got in first and said, don't fear, believe. They were watching. They were present. Don't fear, believe. And then when they got to the house, you got all these people that are wailing and moaning and weeping and carrying on. Kicked them all out. Moved them all out. The only one that went into the house where that dead daughter was mum and dad and Peter, James and John. Interesting, isn't it? Because now you have Peter and James speaking. So Peter and James were present. And then here's Jesus walks in, takes her by the hand, exactly what Jairus said. If you just lay your hands on her, she'll be healed and she'll live. Took her by the hand and said, Talitha kumai. In other words, arise. Up she came. Give her something to eat. They were present. They were there when blind Bartimaeus declared, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Well, he was declaring him Messiah. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. The crowd told him to shut up. Jesus kept walking. He kept saying, Jesus, son of David, you're the Messiah. Have mercy on me. Jesus stopped, turned, said, bring it to me. What do you want me to do for you that I may see again? And he got his sight back. They were present. They were there when that happened. They were there when the leper said, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me. If you're willing. I know you can, but will you? He said, of course I will. Laid hands on him, prayed, healed. They were present for all that. We can only speak the things that we've seen and heard. How much have we seen over the years as Christians where God has moved on someone, where people have prayed and people have believed and agreed and God's miraculously come through? Where God's financial provision consistently and constantly, you know, causes us to be in awe of him, where he meets our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How many times has God proved his faithfulness to us as a body of believers? This is what they were seeing. They were there when he was crucified. They were there when he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. They were there. They saw that. Into your hands I commend my spirit. And he breathed his last. And then he was ushered into the bowels of hell. 3 days and three nights. So that comment, you know, we can only speak to things that we've seen and heard, it has so much meaning. What did they see? And what did they hear? And we keep reading. Verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, of whom this miracle of healing was shown. He was a cripple from birth. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That name healed a cripple from birth instantly. And if you keep reading it, you hear that you see that he's standing, holding on to Peter and James. I've been Peter and John. Holding, he's standing. Instantly. Now that's supernatural. That's a supernatural transformation that took place in his body. And of course, and being let go, they went to their own company. Don't miss that. When God does some miraculous things in your life, go to your brothers and sisters and share it. Amen. Go to your brothers and sisters and share it. Don't go to someone who says, oh yeah, whatever, that's good. That's great. Go to your own company and declare the goodness of God. You know, stir your hearts up. Bless the Lord, almost all, always within me. Bless his holy name. Stir your hearts with your brothers and sisters for the goodness of God. Because unbelievers are not going to rejoice with you when God heals your body. I was like, oh, that's nice. They're not going to rejoice with you when some miraculous, you know, financial provision comes your way. Or when some promotion comes. They're like, oh, that was good. Yeah, you're lucky. Gee, you're lucky. You're so lucky. You're always lucky. I don't know. No, no, go to your company. Go to your company and rejoice with them and give God the glory. Amen. Now, you think about that. You know when he said that we cannot speak to things that we've seen or heard? You know, the Bible tells us, and we'll turn there in Matthew 28, we're to go into all the world. That's what we're to do. I mean, have a look at it. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And it says this. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Well, that covers it all. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. He's cornered the market with power. Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, or look, I'm with you always, even till the end of the world. That's the command of God for the church. Now, if he's saying that we are to teach them all things, go into all the world, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, that means we have to say that which we have seen and heard. We have to declare what we've seen and heard. We don't add to, we don't take from. We don't preach our opinion or our thoughts. If our experience isn't consistent with the scriptures, put it aside. Preach the scripture. Preach the scriptures. Preach the word. Because that's what we're to do. We're to go into all the world and teach. I want to say it again. This is important. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Not what some religious board says or some, you know, theological seminary that decides that this is the way we always do it. No, what did Jesus say? So if we are going to fulfill that commandment, we have to stick with the book. We've got to stick with the scriptures. We've got to stay with the Bible. We can't go outside of it because that's where we find the truth of what he said and what he taught. So that's one. Go with me to Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 15, the end of the book of Mark. And this is presented from another perspective. Verse 15, Jesus says this. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that is baptized, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Well, that's the only thing that keeps you now from eternity with God is failing to believe, not sin. So important to understand this. Sin has been paid for. We don't go to hell now because of sin. We go to hell because of unbelief. Those that don't believe in Jesus must be separated from him for eternity. That's the problem. The sin problem is not believing. That's why he said preach the gospel. Don't go condemning people about their bad behavior. He's paid for that. You've got to tell them what they can be redeemed out of and into. They can be translated out of darkness, sin, into the kingdom of his dear son, which is victory. So He said, those that don't believe are damned. These signs shall follow them believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. Well, that cripple in the book of Acts, he's an example of that. They took him by the hand and he got up because of the name. So they were doing what they had seen and what they had heard. If you study the book of Acts chapter 21, you'll see there Paul was willing to die for his faith. He was willing to die for his faith. He said, "Why are you breaking my heart? I'm willing to die for my faith. I'm happy to go to Jerusalem. Whatever awaits me, praise God. I don't care," because he was a dead man in Christ. That's why it was Paul who said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through to 3, he says, "We are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God." Our life is hid with Christ in God. We're dead people. Do you know why we're not to be offended about what people think? Dead people don't take offense. We're not to be moved by it. The reason why we can just, you know, rub that off, who cares? Dead people aren't offended about anything. They're dead. They're dead to the soulish realm. We're alive in Christ. That's why we can speak the gospel whether people like it or not, whether they agree with it or not. We're to do what he said. If people don't like our message, that's okay. We shake the dust of our feet and we go on to the next one. And the next one. And the next one. But look at these men. They challenged these religious leaders head on. They stayed the course. They weren't willing to bow down to their threats. They weren't willing to shut their mouth because they knew if they shut their mouth to the gospel and the name, it all ends. And any church today which is not preaching the name and in the power of the name, it's dead. Only the power through the name of Jesus and only through the Holy Spirit's leading can we ever be a church that's alive and bright and vibrant, and we can see manifestations of his grace and mercy. Amen. Only through that. So, you know, it's interesting. If you go back to Acts chapter 4 and have a look at the prayer they prayed in verse 29, just moving down a little bit from where we left off. And we'll get this complete this morning. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 29, this is the prayer. So remember, they came together in their own company. They got around the believers and they were talking about what had happened. Then it says this, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word." Now, isn't that interesting? They didn't pray, "Lord, protect us from this bunch." They said, "Give us boldness to speak your word." Wow. That's called staying the course. They didn't shut their mouth because they were threatened by the religious elite. They weren't just their brothers, sister, you know, Israelites. These were the lawmakers. And these were the ones that enforced the law and ensured compliance according to the law. They were challenging the very elite. Verse 30, "By stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus." So their prayer is boldness to speak the word, healing, signs and wonders in the name. And of course, you know, we're going to read a bit further on, that great grace was upon them. Well, of course it was upon them because they were praying the perfect will of God there. Understand something about religion. It can never advance the kingdom of God. That's not what religion does. Religion keeps people in bondage. The word of God must be preached in the name of Jesus with signs and wonders following. God always gives the increase. Remember, Paul said, "I sowed, Apollos watered," in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, but God gives the increase. We were called to go into the world and sow seed. Now, you may have heard you've got to go out and save people. Show me in the Bible where it says that. Show me the scriptures where you're called to save a human being's soul. That's not your call. Only the Holy Spirit can convict the heart of a man. You know, no one comes to me except the Father who draws him. The Father draws him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. No man comes to me except a draw. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Where to sow seed. That's our job. Scatter seed. And then somebody waters the seed. God always brings the increase off the harvest of the seed sown through the Spirit. That's what we're to do. Don't ever get sort of, you know, condemned in heart about, well, I haven't won many to Jesus. How many times have you sowed seed in their lives? That's where your reward is. That's where the reward is. Have you sown seed? Have you just told them, you know, it's okay. God loves you. I'll be praying for you. You just sowed seed. And then someone else says, you know, okay, have you thought about Jesus? Someone sowed seed. And then someone gives them a scripture and a text. Why don't you read this verse? More seed. That's watering of the seed. And then one day, in their darkest moment, they say, Jesus, come into my heart. Take my life and do something with it. That's salvation. That's how God wants the church to be. And this season at the moment is fertile for that. People are struggling. Many are in fear. Many Christians that aren't founded in the book are in fear. We don't need to fear. This thing will never come near us. It's a part of the curse that we've been redeemed from. We can trust God. And that's what Mark 11, 22 said, have faith in God. You can't speak to the mountain until you have faith in God first. You've got to have faith in God. And of course, if you read that in context, it was the same faith where Jesus spoke to the fig tree and said, that's it, you'll never produce fruit again. Walked off, never looked at it again. Never looked at it again. It was the disciples who noticed it. Jesus knew the moment he spoke death to the root, not the fruit. Well, get that. Don't miss that. When you're praying for somebody and you're interceding for somebody, speak to the root, not the fruit. The fruit's the behavior that we see in the natural. The root is a demonic puppet master that creates that problem. You speak to the root, then say, thank you, God, and walk away. And let God do his work on that word that's now attacking the root behind the individual. If they're blinded to the gospel, it's because the God of this world has blinded their eyes to the truth. You got to attack the root of that blindness so that they can be liberated. Amen? All right. As we bring this to a close this morning, have a look at chapter 5. Remember what they prayed. Actually, before we go there, let's just keep reading on verse 31 of chapter 4. We'll just finish this off. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, they got another filling. They're already filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. In other words, they weren't covetous. When you get God moving in the midst of the church, there's this liberality of giving. People aren't covetous and holding on to things. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Great grace was upon them. They weren't doing it in their effort. Okay. Now, look at verse 12 of chapter 5. Because remember what they prayed. This is what they prayed. Verse 12. And by the hand of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Isn't that what they prayed? Isn't that exactly what they asked for? That there'd be signs and wonders done in the name of your holy child Jesus? That's exactly what they got. You're going to get what you say, people. You're going to get what you say, good or bad, life or death, blessing or curse. You're going to get what you say. It's a spiritual law that cannot be changed. It's there forever. We have to guard our mouth if we're speaking doubt and unbelief. If we don't have the provision, then we declare by faith that we have it. If the body's racked with pain, we call it well and hold, even in pain. That's how faith works. So they got what they said. The signs and wonders wrought by the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And we keep reading to verse 18. And of the rest did no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. People feared these guys. This was getting all throughout Jerusalem. And verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. People are going to be added when the word's preached, insomuch that they brought forth the sick under the streets and laid them on beds and couches, and at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing forth sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. They didn't have Facebook or Twitter. They didn't have that. The word was getting out. They weren't just in Jerusalem. They were coming from cities and towns outside of Jerusalem to see what was going on. That's because they prayed boldness to speak the name. That's how you stay the course in Christianity. When we pray for boldness to declare the name of Jesus, no matter what people think about us, that's when we're going to see the manifestation of God in our lives and in the lives of others. That's a true reflection of staying the course. When these guys and women were bold enough to declare it, and look what God did. Many were healed and touched. Verse 17. What was the outcome? Then the high priest rose up. The high priest got the attention of the high priest, people. Top dog. Not just a local minister. This is the top dog. The high priest rose up and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees. Remember, we talked about them. And they were filled with indignation. That's jealousy or envy. Jealousy or envy. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in a prison. And we know what happened there. Of course, they ended up in a prison. Absolutely. And let's go to verse 27. Of the same chapter. And when they brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. I like that. They filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. Not the law, not religion, not God might. Yeah, maybe God will. You can't always be sure what God's going to do. Don't fill the church with that garbage. Don't fill the heads of the believers and the hearts of the believers with, we don't know really what God's going to do. You know, it's His sovereign will. If He wants to heal you, He will. If you get COVID-19 and die, well, it's for His glory. That is a lie from hell. It's not Bible. It never has been Bible. And it's not their doctrine. They spoke their doctrine, which was His doctrine. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. And they did just that. And the religious leaders hated it, and they still do today. They still do today. Why? Because of indignation, jealousy, and envy. Keep reading. They put the doctrine and intent to bring this man's blood on us. Well, if you go to Matthew chapter 7, 27, just make a note of it for some stage. Matthew 27, verse 25, they said, let this man's blood be on us and our children. Remember that? They declared that. Let this man's blood be on us and our children. That's when they condemned him to death, Jesus. Verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. That's who we obey. And you know what? Look at verse 40 to 42. Look at the end result. They got beaten as a result of this. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Sounds familiar? They're just getting the same rhetoric, the same narrative. Don't talk about Jesus. You can pray, but don't use that name. It's okay to pray in a group, but just don't pray in the name of Jesus. We wouldn't want to offend someone. No, we can only speak that which we have seen and heard. I'm bringing this to a close this morning. Verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name. Sounds like they're staying the course, doesn't it? Look at verse 42. Look at the end result. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Doesn't that just bless your heart? With all that was going on there, they wouldn't allow persecution to stop them. And that persecution was a true test of their resolve to stay the course. But they wouldn't be moved by that persecution. Wow. Now we know that Jesus said in John 16, 33, that now in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. Be courageous. I've overcome the world. Who is it that overcomes? But he that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So let's take instruction this morning. Let's take instruction from the word this morning. Because those that live godly in Christ will at some stage suffer persecution. It may not be imprisonment. It may not be martyrdom. But there's going to be persecution against the name because there's power in the name. But our response is going to be like the disciples. We can only speak that which we have seen and heard. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.